Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we've got more good news today. We love being able to share quite a bit of good news. We had to actually kick to the curb a new poll showing Mitt Romney up 6 in Florida, which is great news. But the best news of the last 24 hours is that you and I are off the no preference bandwagon. No preference got 21% in North Carolina against President Obama. We were extremely impressed by federal inmate Keith Judd down in Texas, who got 42% of the vote against the president in West Virginia. Not to be outdone, though, uncommitted in Kentucky last night, also at 42%. And over in Arkansas last night, the Obama campaign actually ended up spending far more money than they ever intended to make sure they weren't humiliated by a no-name candidate named John Wolf, and that ended up 60-40. So that wasn't exactly a rousing victory for the president either. So, Jim, I think uncommitted is the way to go here. He's our guy.
Uncommitted. Uncommitted. That's the rallying cry I am all for. Americans Elect, that group that was looking for a third-party candidate, you found your man. This is or woman, as it may be, the genderless candidate. Uncommitted has never let us down, never been associated with a scandal, never had a terrible gaffe or anything like that. So this is, on the one hand, not enormously significant in that most of these states are pretty deeply red, and it's not like Obama was likely to win them to begin with. But what's really kind of intriguing is that the demographics of Kentucky and Arkansas and West Virginia, these are all Jacksonian, Scotch-Irish, white working class states that kind of have, you know, there's a certain kind of cultural thread that runs through all of them. And they basically would kind of make an interesting argument that you can find the same demographic, the same type of white working class voter in states like Pennsylvania, in states like Ohio, in states, some of these upper Midwest states, and you can even argue North Carolina, maybe the northern portion of Florida. So clearly this is a demographic that there are a lot of folks in these states who are party registration is Democrat, but who are culturally very conservative. These people, they're probably the original Reagan Democrats. Here's a demographic that Mitt Romney can do quite well with. He's probably not completely connecting with these folks. There's a poll out that has Romney down 6 in Pennsylvania. That's the bad news. Being up 6 in Florida is the good news. If Mitt Romney can connect with this group and really get them to turn out the way that they turned out for Hillary Clinton, you know, Sarah Palin certainly generated a decent level of support and sense of emotional connection with this demographic, then the sky's the limit for Mitt Romney. And this could, you know, this kind of shows the change of the Democratic Party, that Barack Obama hung on to the Hillary Clinton voters back in 2008's general election. And I think that his grip on these voters is slipping away very rapidly.
Interestingly, the Washington Post today, trying to analyze why the president's doing so poorly among his own party's voters in some of these red-leaning states, all the exit polls that they reported show that these people, surprise, surprise, don't like his liberal left-leaning policies. But, of course, the Washington Post assumes that it's racism.
Racism! Yeah, the only other thing I would also note is that most of these states have some significant tie to the coal industry. And as Vice President Biden put it, no coal plants in America! When the president and the vice president say they want to destroy the industry you work in, or perhaps your neighbor works in, or your family members work in, that's not really what you want to hear. So unsurprisingly, these states are not only not going to go for Obama, but you might see Romney really clean up in a way people would not expect.
And so we'll keep our eye on that. Huge turnout in states that he knew he was going to win was big for George W. Bush back in 2004 because, of course, he wanted to win the popular vote and the electoral vote, which he did not win both in 2000. And that was a big help in pushing him over the top and over 60 million votes against John Kerry. So on to Martini number two now. And apparently among Iowa Republicans, Jim, the definition of good or excellent is a moving target. For those of you who have been regular listeners to the Three Martini Lunch, Jim Garrity is not the biggest fan of the caucus system, and particularly not in the Iowa caucus to start off the entire process. And according to a new poll of non-scientific, by the way, 79% of Iowa Republicans think that the tabulation process used at the 2012 Iowa caucus was either excellent or good. And I can only rebut that, Jim, by asking the question you asked in the campaign spot today. Who won again?
I mean, technically, the winner was Rick Santorum. That was the best estimate that we have. It was, you know, the revised figure on election night. They declared that Romney had won. As known, there were, you know, five Iowa counties said they couldn't count their votes, and eight precinct caucuses lost their documentation, which is the caucus is done by amateurs. Perhaps in the past this was seen as a charming aspect of Heartland America's, you know, authenticity or something. But I think that considering the importance of Iowa's role, if it's going to continue to be the first in the nation in this, it needs to get it right. It needs to have this done, you know, with a certain amount of professionalism and accountability. And it just seems to be very slipshod, very disorganized, very poorly tracked and recorded and, you know, paying attention to the details. I'm not really a big fan of online polling, even if you attempt to kind of balance for self-identified, you know, race, gender, age, all that, you know, party ID, et cetera. This is basically a response of Iowa Republicans. And it's not surprising that Iowa Republicans think they didn't do that bad a job because, you know, they're asking to judge their fellow party members. I'd say in the other 49 states, I'd probably say the approval rating of how the Iowa Republicans handled their caucus is probably closer to 0% or, you know, single digits. So really, it's not surprising that 43% of the people who were involved in the caucus said they received no training. And somehow that doesn't seem so stunning. And it's not reassuring to see the state party issuing messages to the world saying, our members are happy with the way it went. We know we have a few problems, a few areas to work on, but we think things are hunky-dory. It's not hunky-dory. It was an embarrassment. And this kind of lame online poll defense is not reassuring in the slightest.
On to the crazy martini now. And let's just call it South Carolina liberals gone crazy here, because we've got Donna DeWitt. She's the outgoing president of the South Carolina AFL-CIO. And she is at what appears to be some sort of union-type picnic. And lo and behold, there's a pinata there with Governor Nikki Haley's face stuck to it, and then a quote coming out of her mouth that says, unions are not needed, wanted, or welcome in South Carolina. So Ms. DeWitt is given an aluminum baseball bat and told to have at it at the Nikki Haley pinata. And here's the really awkward to listen to tape of that.
But I will say, you know, she looks like a tough old girl here.
Well, whack her hard.
All right, you ready?
Wait until her face comes around. Whack her.
Jim, we've been told time and time again that mere disagreement with President Obama's policies means we're racist. So what does it mean now when this union official is slugging the likeness of an Indian American woman who happens to be governor of her state on the side of a pinata with an aluminum baseball bat?
Burn the witch! Burn the witch! just by sound, that's a very ugly portrait of South Carolina AFL-CIO. It is not surprising. I wrote about this in The Jolt, and you and I have talked about this in our free marketing lunch chats for a long time. I almost feel like we've done this type of story lots of times before, that, you know, that we were supposed to have this new tone after Tucson, and then someone on the left who is convinced that their system of political beliefs is directly correlated to whether or not you're a good person attacks the opposition in a, you know, very personal way, a very crude way. And this way, you know, way, one that very much implies violence. I suppose we should be thankful that they're not actually attempting to beat the governor with a stick. My guess is that the South Carolina State Police would attempt to shoot you if you attempted to do that. For a movement that is always insisting that it's not filled with thugs, that it's no longer tied to organized crime, that it's not a bunch of bullies and knuckle-dragging reprobates, this video pretty much confirms all of our worst suspicions of the way organized labor, you know, acts and behaves and talks and what they do when they think nobody's watching. The fact that the cameras were on, they did this for the cameras, indicates, in addition to everything we thought, South Carolina AFL-CIO leadership, Greg, is pretty darn stupid. And they don't even have the good sense to realize that you shouldn't do this on video. So I guess I should give a few molecules of credit to the national AFL-CIO saying that this was inappropriate. Remember, their guy was the guy who said, let's take out these SOVs, clean up the language a little bit, at a rally with President Obama. So there's always been this implied violence in their rhetoric. And I, you know, would be very happy with either a single standard either way. If we really did genuinely have a more civil and respectful public debate, or if there was this attitude of anything goes, And we don't need to all get the vapors every time, you know, Sarah Palin uses surveying symbols or bullseyes or whatever on a map on her Facebook page.
Exactly. And but not to be outdone by the South Carolina AFL-CIO, South Carolina Democratic Congressman Jim Clyburn, who on MSNBC on Tuesday morning says, "I want to say to you, I don't take contributions from payday lenders." He's talking about the Bain controversy. "I refuse to do that. That's free enterprise. But there's something about that enterprise that I have a problem with. And there's something about raping companies and leaving them in debt and setting up Swiss bank accounts and corporate businesses in the Grand Caymans. I have a serious problem with that." It says later on in the story, Obama spokeswoman Liz Smith said in an email, "We strongly disagree with Congressman Clyburn's choice of words. They have no place in this conversation." So, Jim, for the last 3 days, they've been ripping on their own party for defending Bain. Now Jim Clyburn's gone too far. Good surrogates are so hard to find.
You know, you may remember the old classic Reese's Pieces commercial. "You've got chocolate in my peanut butter. You've got peanut butter in my chocolate." In this case, Clyburn, perhaps getting a little confused or something, you're seeing this situation in which he's got his war on women talking points mixed in with his Bain is the root of all evil talking points. And that's what happens. Next, it'll be that Bain is banning birth control and doesn't want Julia to have a flourishing career as a web designer and all those other things. So we've always kind of had the attitude that a lot of Democratic rhetoric these days is sort of a Mad Lib, you know. Bain Capital is insert bad thing here and just kind of let it go. And that's, you know, I think Jim Clyburn kind of demonstrates that's we're a lot closer to the mark with that mockery than we ever thought we were.
All right. Well, thanks for all those contributions, South Carolina Democrats. You're making our job very easy.
And let's face it, this is 1 year after Alvin Green.
That's true. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Thursday for the next Three Martini Lunch.